Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to share with you one of my favorite stories. It's about Jesus. One time he's going across the Sea of Galilee and a big storm came. Let me share it with you. One day when evening had come, he said, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were other boats too. And a great storm of wind occurred. The waves beat into the boat. The boat was already filling, but Jesus was in the stern asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we perish?" And he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with fear, and they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So let's go across to the other side. Of course, we're talking about the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but with Jesus, he wants to take us to the other side of our life. And eventually, he wants to take us to the other side of death itself. So come on, let's go on a journey. Actually, you know, some people say that discipleship is a journey, and I agree with that. We journey with Jesus from one place to another, and that's kind of the cultural theme, that of the journey. But more than a journey, I want to talk about discipleship as a pilgrimage. And there's a difference, because a journey is traveling, but a pilgrimage is traveling with faith. And that's exactly what a pilgrimage is. I've made some pilgrimages in my life. For example, one time I took a group of people to Israel, Greece, and Rome. And that was a two-week pilgrimage. And it was a fascinating pilgrimage, but it involved some suffering, a lot of travel, a lot of airports, a lot of transferring the baggage, you know, that whole thing. And then one time I remember I made a pilgrimage to World Youth Day, and that was in Denver, Colorado. That was back in 1993, a couple years after I was ordained a priest. There was like a million people there. Not quite a million, but it was huge. They had this outdoor mass, Cherry Creek State Park. And the interesting thing was, I remember how hot it was. It must have been 100 degrees. People were sweating. The neighbors were putting out water. There were people everywhere. And I remember there was only a few bathrooms. They put out these porta potties and long lines to the bathrooms. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is perfect, because this is what a pilgrimage is. A pilgrimage is a facsimile of life itself. So life itself has seasons of suffering, of affliction, of hardships. So shouldn't it be this way in a pilgrimage too? It's hot, long lines at the bathroom, people everywhere. And pilgrimages demand patience, they demand endurance, they demand forgiveness, and it's the same with life. So when Jesus takes us on this journey, it's more than a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's a journey of faith. And in this journey of faith, we are going to meet up with tribulations and hardships and afflictions and sufferings and difficulties. I call them the seasons of life. I wrote a book called Seasons of Life, where we go through various seasons. Sometimes there's a season of grieving, like the time I lost my dad, and then I lost my mom. Those were two very difficult seasons for me. But those seasons passed. I still grieve, but the grieving's not that bad anymore. And then there was a season of sickness for me when I had to have a knee operation, and that was really hard. But that season has passed because I've gotten better after the operation. And then there are seasons in the church itself. For example, season of difficulty with vocations, season of the sexual scandal, seasons of hardships with leadership at times. So there's been different seasons that have gone through the church. You know, there's been difficulties with controversies and all kinds of things that have happened in the church. So when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, what he's doing is he's taking us from where we are and where we were, and he's taking us to another place. And the beautiful thing about Jesus and discipleship is he said, let's go. In other words, he's saying, I'm not telling you to go alone. I want you to come with me. Come follow me. And that's exactly what discipleship is. It's a journey of faith following Jesus. Because we follow Jesus, that does not exempt us from hardship, as I said. But because Jesus is with us, we can face the hardships, the storms, the difficulties, and we can go through, and we can grow through. As we go through, we grow through. So when Jesus said, let's go, he's saying, I will be with you. And he says that over and over again in the gospel. Of course, we know that. To be with means to be close, to be alongside of, and we can lean on Jesus. He cares for us. In fact, that's what the scripture says. It says, cast your care on God because God cares for you. And because God cares for us, he will take care of us. Sometimes it doesn't seem like God is there. It seems like Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. But the bottom line is that he is in the boat with us as we make this pilgrimage of faith. And so he really does care and he really is there. So I want you to understand that. So, we've all heard about that poetry, if you will, that story about footprints. Remember, the man has a dream, and in his dream, he sees these two sets of footprints along the coast. And then all of a sudden, he starts going through hard times and difficulties and problems and storms, and he only sees one set of footprints. So he says to the Lord in the dream, he says, I don't understand that dream. He said, I was having good times and you were walking with me. Then I went through difficulties and you left me. And the Lord said to him, you misinterpreted the dream because that one set of footprints was mine. When you were going through hard times, it was I who carried you. And that is so good because even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because our shepherd is with us to strengthen us, to help us, and to bring us through. So let's take this pilgrimage to the other side. And eventually, just to let you know, as I said before, he is going to take us to the other side of death itself. We go with him now in life through the seasons of life. We progress to our own death. And then eventually he's going to take us to the other side, to eternity itself. So it's important now that we develop our relationship with Jesus here so that when we face that ultimate storm, he'll take us through that too on the pilgrimage to eternity. So they're going across. Everything's great. And isn't life like that? Most of the time, things are pretty good. You know, we're raising families and things are going well and not really suffering and the money's coming in and not really any hardships. And then the scripture says, all of a sudden, things change. It's kind of like the Weather Channel. We didn't see this coming, but all of a sudden, the storm blew in. And a great storm of wind occurred. It was a tempest, like a hurricane. They're going across the Sea of Galilee, and then, boom, it hit, and it hit with fury. Back in my seminary days, back in 1987, I had the privilege to study in the land of Israel. Spent 3 months over there, lived in Galilee for a while. Most of the time I lived in Jerusalem. They call the Gospels, you know, the four Gospels, they call the land of Israel, the Holy Land, they call it the fifth Gospel. And I really like that because it gives meaning to the other Gospels. For example, when I went to Galilee, I got a sense of Jesus there. what he was like. There's not a whole lot of people in Galilee anymore. It's not very crowded. It's not like Jerusalem. And in Galilee, you just get a sense of Jesus, and it colors the Gospels that you read. So it was such an honor and a privilege. And I remember one of my favorite places was going to the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee isn't a sea like we know oceans. It's more like a lake. They also call it the Lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret is a word, by the way, that means harp, like a musical harp that you play, because the Sea of Galilee is shaped like a harp. And it's really not a large body of water. If you know anything about Lake Tahoe up in California, very similar to Lake Tahoe. It's a lake, Lake Gennesaret. And the interesting thing, though, is Lake Tahoe is up about 6,200 feet in altitude, but the Sea of Galilee is, get this, 680 feet below sea level. It's about 13 miles long, about 8 miles across, not very big, but big enough. And what happens is, because it's below sea level, in the Golan Heights, there's a notch there, and the storms got kicked up off of Syria, and they come blowing through that notch, and they get sucked right down onto the Sea of Galilee. You just happen to be going across the Sea of Galilee in a boat. All of a sudden, you can perish. That's exactly what I was doing one time. I was crossing the Sea of Galilee, and I was in a boat with the captain. There was a couple other people on board while I was studying there. And I went over to the captain, and I said, you know, I've studied the Bible and heard all about these storms on the Sea of Galilee. Is that really true? I mean, do these storms really come? And the captain kind of looked at me with a shocked expression, and he said, yes, it is true. I've heard of people that have died from these storms. If you're out in a boat, you just happen to be fishing. It's very dangerous. In fact, he even said there's a name for them. He says they call them the storms that hit the Sea of Galilee. They call them sharkias. And he said they're ferocious and they're deadly and they come out of nowhere. Storms are a metaphor for real life. When we hear about storms in the Bible, think about losing a family member, going through a physical suffering, unemployment, dealing with an addiction, relationship problems, things not going your way, broken dreams. Yeah, it's real life. And this has happened in the life of Jesus and the disciples. It happens in our life too. We're all very familiar with storms. I remember back in 2017, talk about a storm, Hurricane Harvey hit Houston. That's where I live in Houston. We have our retreat center there. And it hit with fury, but most of all, it hit with rain. Some 54 inches of rain fell on one place, and it flooded the size of the state of New Jersey with water. It was a Cat 4 hurricane, hit in August 2017, cost $125 billion worth of damage. 93 people were killed. And our retreat center in Houston, thanks be to God, has good drainage. That neighborhood that we live in, they have all kinds of good infrastructure there, and we did well, although there was a lot of rain and there was a lot of flooding in our area. It was the people near the bayous, the rivers, that really got hit hard. We have 5 miles from us a group of sisters, Catholic nuns, called the Senecal Sisters. They live right next to a bayou. Their retreat center was totally flooded out, and they lost everything, millions of dollars worth of damage. So storms hit good people, bad people, all people. God's sun shines on the just and the unjust, as Jesus taught, comes to everybody. God's love, storms, hardships, we're all human. We all have to deal with it. Cardinal DiNardo, and he was interviewed by the media, and they asked him, where was God in this Hurricane Harvey? Where was God in all this? And he replied in an interesting manner. He said, God didn't cause the hurricane, but God redeemed the hurricane. We found God in the people who donated, the Cajun Navy, the first responders, those who helped, the firemen and the policemen, all the people that helped. God redeemed us through the people that helped. And that's the way it is with storms in life. There's always redemption. God doesn't exempt us from these things, but God promises to be with us in the hurricanes, in the storms. So storms come and they go, and they take all kinds of different forms. That's why I like this story, because to me it speaks about real life. And real life doesn't deny the storms. Real life faces the storms, and you're not intimidated by storms. When they come, you are strong, because remember, Jesus is with us in the boat, and he cares for us. So the story says as we go along that the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was filling with water. And I think about that because it seems like when you have one problem, all of a sudden many problems come. You've all heard that expression, when it rains, it pours. Sometimes when you're going through a relationship problem, you have money problems and health problems and addictions and this and that. All these other things come at the same time. And so the waves were beating into the boat. And maybe that's happening in your life right now. You could have a lot of things going against you. But I want you to know that the Lord's on board. You're not alone. You're on a pilgrimage. These are seasons that will pass. One of my favorite sayings is, "This too shall pass." So the waves were beating into the boat. When I studied in Israel, when I went to the Sea of Galilee, on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, there's a place called Magdala. You've heard of Mary Magdalene. That's where she was from, Magdala. And they found, some time ago, they found a boat from the time of Jesus. They carbon dated it. And they carefully dug it up out of the Sea of Galilee. And they put it in a museum in Magdala on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. The boat is 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and has cedar planks. Now, 27.5 feet, that's about the size of the boat that Jesus would have been in with his disciples. That is not a big boat. And that Sea of Galilee is pretty big. And those storms hit pretty furious. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes in life, it seems like we're so small and life is so big and it's coming against us hard. Norwegian fishermen had a prayer, "Oh Lord, take care of us. The sea is so vast and our boat is so small." And that's what I really want you to get. That even though there are accidents, hurricanes, storms, terrorism, politics, relationship problems, addictions, we are assured time and time again that although there are storms and hardships, that Jesus is in the boat. And not only is he in the boat and with us, he cares for us. I love that saying from Scripture, cast your care on God because God cares for you. Right now, as you're watching, as you're listening, God cares for you. Recently, I produced a 4-episode series on the 12-step program. 12 steps having to do with addictions of every type. And in order to come into recovery, a person, first of all, has to admit that they have an addiction. They're powerless over the addiction. Then the third step is this. They surrender their lives not only to God, but to the care of God. And I love that because what you're doing is professing that not only do you have a higher power that can help you, but that there is strength, that God cares, he's solicitous for you, he's concerned over your welfare, and he will help you. We don't just have a power, we have a personal God who cares for us deeply. Jesus taught about that when he said, "Look at the birds of the air, they neither toil nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And how much more will he take care of you, O little faith?" So I'm inviting you to trust. That's one of my favorite prayers. Jesus, I don't understand, but I trust in you. That's one of my favorite prayers. At night, I'll oftentimes pray that. Jesus, I trust in you. That's the prayer of the desert. The early church fathers used to go into the desert and they would say, "Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." It's that prayer of trusting in Jesus for mercy. So I invite you to simply trust. to give yourself to Christ, no matter what's happening, no matter what storm that you're going through. So they woke Jesus up. And when Jesus asleep, because he was trusting in God, he wakes up and notice what he did. He stands up to the storm. He didn't run, didn't cower in fear. He said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. Somebody sent me a lithograph one time that I absolutely love. It said, "It's not the storm outside of you God tries to calm. It's the storm inside of you." And I was so touched by that because I can be anxious and worried and nervous. And people that I talk to, one of the great afflictions, the mental afflictions that people have, seems to be this whole thing about stress and anxiety and worry and hardship. Some people are having trouble with insomnia, having trouble sleeping, because their thoughts are negative and they're just anxious and worried and fearful and all this stuff going around. Well, I read a book, one of my favorite books by Norman Vincent Peale, great author, great minister. He wrote that book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And in that book, he talks about replacing negative, harassing thoughts with a positive thought. In psychology, this is called cognitive replacement therapy. And basically what he said is this: when you have a negative thought that's coming against you, a stormy thought, a stressful thought, a nervous thought, simply say peace, calm, serenity, tranquility, healing, shalom. So I invite you to do that. Replace all the hard thoughts, all the stuff that's causing you turmoil, and simply put in your mind these thoughts, speak it out loud: shalom, peace, calm, serenity, tranquility, healing. And that's my prayer for you, O storm-tossed one. If you're going through all kinds of negativity and anxiety and worry, no need to. Jesus says, peace, be still. If you know anything about this story, Jesus was going over to the other side. What was the other side? It was the Gentile territory. So evil was throwing a storm at him to try to prevent him from going over. If you know anything about trying to realize your dreams, trying to write a book, trying to produce for television, trying to do anything significant in life, evil will try to stop you and throw things at you. But what I have learned, and God has spoken to me this to me many, many times, is don't be intimidated by the storms. Don't be intimidated by the difficulties of your life. When hardships come against you, stand strong, and like Jesus, don't run, face the storm in the strength of God. And you will have peace and serenity and calm right in the middle of the storm. Doesn't mean that the storms of your life will stop, but it means that you will have strength in the storm. That's the great prayer of the 12-step program. If you know anything about the 12-step, of course, people that are addicted, and Al-Anon, spouses, family members of those who are addicted, they have adopted the prayer of Reinhold Niebuhr, which says, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And there's so much in life that we cannot change, that's out of our control, the storms that blow in, but you can have serenity right in the middle of it because Jesus is with you. And I want to impress that upon you. So, Jesus stood up to his storms, and you can stand up to your storms. So, what storms are you going through right now? Maybe relationship problems, grieving, an addiction that's got a hold of you, sickness of some kind, a breakup, an accident, a tragedy, money problems. I assure you from this story, Jesus is in the boat. God is with you. We are all on a pilgrimage. It's a faith journey. We're going to the other side. And as we go to the other side, we're going to face storms. There will be hardships. Being a disciple of Jesus does not exempt us from storms. That story is telling us that. The apostles, Jesus had to go through it, and we have to go through it too. But I'll tell you this, this too shall pass. Seasons are like this. There's ups and downs. It's a faith pilgrimage, and Jesus is with us. And because he's with us, we can be strong. Second of all, our boat is small and the sea is vast, but God cares for us. He's concerned for our welfare. Cast your care on God because God cares for you. And then take responsibility for your own thoughts. Just because you have negative thoughts and you have stressful thoughts doesn't mean that you have to entertain them. Peace, serenity, tranquility, speak it out of your mouth. Calm, healing, shalom, cognitive replacement therapy. And then trust in Jesus. No matter what you're going through, he'll take you through. He'll take you to the other side. So storms are going to come, storms are going to go in this great pilgrimage of life, but realize this, God cares for you, and because he cares for you, cast your care on God because he cares for you. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.